Good morning. It's nice to see everyone out. It's good, of course, to see all our normal members here. It's good to see our visitors here. It's always good for us all to come and worship God. Of course, worship is, it's about what you're putting into it and not what you're getting out. But I think it's always wonderful for us to be glad when we come to worship God. But it's good to see everyone here this morning. You might want to go ahead and turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Most of us are here this morning because we're Christians. And part of being a Christian, part of our Christian life, is we have to learn to study and to discern God's word for ourselves. We have to be able to understand the difference between God's word and human traditions. Paul writes to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul writes this. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." As Christians, we have to be grounded, we have to be prepared, we have to be able to stand firm on the word of God. Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4, verse 14. He says this, "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming." As Christians, we have to be able to stand on God's word and stand for what God says. But in this world, today, it's been this way for thousands of years. But this is a problem we run up against every day, a difficulty that confronts us. And it's really an old problem, wearing a new suit, one that you might call political correctness. The problem is this, is that there are those who, in the name of unity, they want to eliminate division. And they want to get along with everyone. But the way they want to do that, by being more like each other, instead of being more like Christ. And so what happens when we're confronted with these people with that attitude, and we try to stand on the word of God, if we object to that so-called unity, we'll often be called a Pharisee. We might be called a legalist. It might be to our face. It might be behind our back. Has anyone ever called you a Pharisee? Has anyone ever called you a legalist? For a long time now, calling someone a Pharisee or a legalist, it's been an insult. And if we don't know what a Pharisee actually is, if we don't know the problems that the Pharisees actually had, it can be intimidating for someone to call us that. I don't think there's anyone in here who wants to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Pharisee. You don't want to be a Pharisee. The Pharisees, they rejected Christ. They crucified Christ. In Matthew 23, Jesus has all these woes to say to them. Matthew 23, pick up with me in verse 13 of Matthew 23. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from men, for you did not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, even while for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive greater condemnation." And over and over and over in this chapter he says, "Woe to you, woe to you, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." But why did Jesus say these woes to them? Why did the Pharisees reject Christ? Why did Jesus rebuke them? Many people today will say that they were rebuked because they were too concerned with legalism and not concerned enough with love. And that's true, they weren't concerned enough with love. People may call you a Pharisee, they may call me a Pharisee, but what we want to do is make sure that they're not justly accusing us of that. We want to make sure that they're not truthfully accusing us of that. So this morning, what we want to do is we want to look at what the Pharisees' problems were and what they were not, so we can guard against actually being a Pharisee. We want to look at what the problems were, what the conclusions, what the false conclusions people draw from the Pharisees are. What the false conclusions they draw from the Pharisees are. And then thirdly, we want to look at what are the positions that are demanded by those false conclusions. So what were the problems of the Pharisees? The first one we want to talk about is that the Pharisees were blind. Turn back to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 14. This is what Jesus says about the Pharisees. He says, "Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." We know about blindness. We know that for a blind person to be leading around a blind person, it makes no sense. That, you know, it sounds like some sort of punchline of a joke. Some sort of lead up to a joke, rather, that, you know, this is obviously going to end in disaster. That's what Jesus says about the Pharisees. These are blind people trying to lead you. And again, going over to Matthew 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, blind guides." Matthew 23, we'll pick up in verse 23. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also." Jesus called these people, these men, he called them blind. He said, "Woe to you for that." And the spiritual blindness, it was spiritual blindness. They could see with their eyeballs. They could see just fine, at least as far as I know. But the blindness Jesus was accusing them of was spiritual blindness. Look over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. The spiritual blindness of the Pharisees was because they were deceiving themselves. Galatians 6, verse 3. "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Remember to the crucifixion of Christ and to the trial and everything leading up to that. These people were careful in how they went about killing the Son of God because they didn't want to defile themselves on the Sabbath. How ridiculous is that? These men were so careful operating this kangaroo court, killing this righteous man, killing Jesus, killing the Lamb of God, because they didn't want to make themselves unclean for the Sabbath. These people, these men, the Pharisees, they would break promises, they would dishonor their parents, and they would claim to be doing it for God. They were so blind to themselves. They were so blind to their own sin. Look over to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. Jesus tells them about how they're blind to their own sin. You remember here in John 9, this is where Christ heals the blind man, this man who was blind from birth. And the Pharisees, these Jews, they're, you might say they're hassling this blind man because they won't believe that Christ has healed them. But in John 9, beginning in verse 35, this is what happens. "Jesus heard that they had put him out," that the blind man. "They put the blind man out, and finding him, he said, 'Do you believe in the Son of Man?' He answered, 'Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?' Jesus said to him, 'You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you.' And he said, 'Lord, I believe.' And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, 'For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, 'We see,' your sin remains. This man who had been blind from his birth, he saw Christ. He understood who Christ was. He saw Jesus and he believed. But these men who could see with their eyeballs perfectly fine, they were so blinded to who Christ was. They were so blinded to their own sin." The Pharisees were blind. The Pharisees were blind. The Pharisees were prideful. And that's their second problem, is they were prideful. And again, the cause of the blindness was the pride. If we remember Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 again, they thought they were something when they were nothing. And all the things they did it to be seen by men. Go back again to Matthew 23. You may just want to put your finger there. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 5. "But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments, and they love the place of honor at the banquets and chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the markets, and being called by men rabbi." These men love to get the attention. They love to be in the top spot. They love for people to look at them and say, "Oh man, look how righteous that guy is. That guy, he is so righteous." Because what they were doing is they were seeking glory from men, not from God. They didn't care about what God looked down and thought about them. They cared about what their fellow man thought about them. Go to John again. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 44. This is what Jesus has to say about them, or about the Jews. "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God?" These people were seeking glory from other men, not from God. You remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee and the tax collector? How the Pharisee stands there and says, "God, I thank you that I am not like this man," over and over, "I thank you that I. And the tax collector says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The Pharisees were prideful. When they prayed, when they did all these things, they did it, out on the street corners to be seen by men. The daily prayers, they would time it where they accidentally ended up having to pray where people could see them. And they would test Jesus. Somehow they never learned their lesson, apparently. They would test Jesus, ask him these questions about the law. And Jesus would make them look foolish because he would answer their questions in ways that they couldn't refute, that they couldn't argue with. And they hated it when Jesus made them look foolish in front of these other Jews. They hated that. They wanted to keep these positions they had at the expense of righteousness. They were blind. They were prideful. The third problem is that they were hypocrites. They were hypocrites. Again, in Matthew 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." These Pharisees thought they could get around God's will. They thought they could find loopholes, they could find detours maybe. They ignored justice and mercy and faithfulness for outward things. Again, go to Matthew 23:23. And there, this is very important. The point Christ is making is not that those outward things weren't important. Christ is not saying that those things aren't important. What Christ was saying, their problem, was that they neglected the big things, justice and mercy and faithfulness, and they neglected those things so that others could see them doing those little things, those outward things. But what Christ says, you should have done both. You should have done both. Both were from God. These are things you should have done without neglecting the others. Go over to Luke 18. We're going to look at the story of the Pharisee and the publican again. Luke 18. We'll start in verse 9. Because these men, they were hypocrites. They trusted in themselves. They trusted in themselves and held others in contempt while they were all sinners. Luke 18, beginning in verse 9. He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves. Christ is telling a parable to people who trust in themselves. Who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. This man who lifted himself up, who said, I don't have these problems, said, this Pharisee, he was praying to himself, basically saying, God, I'm not a sinner. Christ says, he didn't go to his house justified. This man who realized that he was a sinner, realized his place in relation to God is the one who is justified. They were blind, they were prideful, they were hypocrites. And their last problem is that they held tradition, they held their father's tradition, the rabbi's tradition, as more important than the word of God. Tradition, it's just something that's handed down. But there's an important distinction to make. There's distinctions of something that you're doing that was handed down to you, but it was handed down because it's something that God had commanded. And there's tradition that's just handed down that it's just something that your father or your father's father or your father's father has always done, but it's not something that's necessarily commanded by God. Turn back to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. We'll start there in verse 1. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, And why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, Honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, Whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. And thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Verse 7, he says, You hypocrites. They were hypocritical because they put their tradition that wasn't a command of God above God's commands. And what does this lead to? That putting your tradition above the word of God, it's what being loyal to people, being loyal to a movement over God, that's what it results in. We have to be loyal first to God and to God's word. Because if we're loyal to some preacher, to some movement, we'll end up putting our traditions over what God says. And a great deal of the religious world is like that today. One becomes a Pharisee when they choose what they're doing, when they choose what their friends are doing over what God's word says. So the Pharisees, they were blind, they were prideful, they were hypocrites. So we can all read these stories about the Pharisees. I'll read these verses about the Pharisees. Those were the problems of the Pharisees. But what are some wrong conclusions that people get from the Pharisees or get about the Pharisees? There are two big ones that we want to think about. The first wrong conclusion that people take is they get this idea that we don't need authority. They say Jesus condemned the Pharisees, and the Pharisees claim that they had authority from God. And so then they take this idea and say, that must mean that Jesus condemned the Pharisees, but that must mean that we don't need authority, that we don't have to have authority. People take that to mean that the Pharisees were condemned for claiming authority for what they did. But really, if we take a close look at the Pharisees and what Jesus said to them, they were condemned. They were condemned for ignoring the authority of Scripture when it didn't suit them. They only appealed to the authority of Scripture when they could twist it to their own use or when it was somehow convenient for them. People claim that we don't need authority. The second wrong conclusion people take is our beliefs can only apply to us personally. They say that conclusions can only apply personally. They can't be encouraged to others. They say that we can't tell others that they should believe the things we believe. And it's very politically incorrect today to try to tell someone, hey, this is what I believe, and you should believe it too. It's not something that's very accepted in 2017. People say the Pharisees tried to tell everyone what to do, and Jesus condemned them for that. But that's not why Jesus condemned them. Jesus condemned them because they were blind and prideful and hypocrites. He didn't condemn them for telling others to do what to do. He condemned them for telling others what to do and then not doing it themselves. And really the problem with this, it stems directly from a lack of authority. When we adhere to God's word, there'll be a distinction. We'll see a distinction from those who don't adhere to it. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, John writes, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. And if we go into chapter 4, verse 6, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In chapter 2, he says, those who are not of us, there are those who adhere to God's word and those that don't. In 1 John 4, there's the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's right and there's wrong. People claim that it's arrogant to ask others to believe what we believe. But think about Paul. Acts chapter 26. He's in captivity, in chains. And he's speaking to Agrippa. Here's what Paul says in Acts 26, verse 28. Rather, here's what Agrippa replies to Paul. Paul has just been speaking to Agrippa about Christ. Agrippa replied to Paul, in a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I wish to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Was it arrogant of Paul to want all men, to want Agrippa, to want everyone who heard him there? Was it arrogant of Paul to want them to become like he was, except for those chains? Was it arrogant of Paul to want those people to believe the things that he believed? So those are the two false conclusions that people draw from the Pharisees, that we don't need authority, and our beliefs can only apply to us personally, or that we don't need authority and we can't ask others to believe the things we believe. So if we take those false conclusions, and if we try to stand on those false conclusions, what happens? What happens when we take the positions that are demanded by those conclusions? The first thing that results in, is worldliness. Worldliness, moral issues, will become a problem. On Wednesday night, we've been talking, studying this book, Overcoming Sin. And there are various problems we've looked at. But one that we've talked about a number of times is drinking, alcohol, social drinking. That might be one of the first things to creep in. Immodesty, dancing. Eventually, if we take the positions demanded by those false conclusions, eventually what people now call alternative lifestyles, alternative sexuality, that will come in. And then the person who's being accused of being a legalist, the person who's being accused of being a Pharisee, they'll be attacked because of the stand they take against those things. What happens is worldliness, moral issues become a problem. People become blind to those things. People become blind to sin. The second thing that those wrong conclusions result in is an unwillingness to admit when we're wrong. Because ultimately, pride is maintained at the expense of being pleasing to God. When people are unwilling to admit that they're wrong, when someone questions them, they'll either try to intimidate them or to shun them. They might say that people who study about authority, that they might say they're less spiritual because they say, "Oh, I don't care about outward things. You know, I'm more spiritual because I only care about what's in my heart." Because they are prideful. They're unwilling to study about patterns, about authority. They're unwilling to admit when they're wrong. What happens is they become prideful. The third thing that those wrong conclusions lead to is a tearing down of brethren and a building up of those who reject authority. They'll praise those who agree with them. They'll praise those who think the same way they do. But if someone disagrees with them, they'll be disingenuous about them. What happens is the failures, or more often the perceived failures of brethren, they're put under a microscope, they're blown up, they're shown all over, shouted from the rooftops. But at the same time, people will praise denominational movements who are agreeing with them. They'll ignore the differences they have with these denominational movements, but if they agree with them on something, they'll praise them for that, and they'll become closer to them for that. They ignore the differences they have because they're blinded by the agreement on some point they have. What happens is people become hypocrites. When we take those two false conclusions, that we don't need authority and we can't ask others to believe what we believe, if we stand on those, ultimately we'll become blind, we'll become prideful, and we'll become hypocrites. Those ideas will turn you into a Pharisee, they'll turn me into a Pharisee, without us realizing. And when it's let loose in churches, that self-righteous attitude and the lack of teaching on Bible authority, the effect that it will have will be terrible. It will cause people to fall away. It will destroy people's faith. It will destroy local groups of God's people. So we've looked at the problems of the Pharisees. We've looked at what are the wrong conclusions people draw from that. And then we've looked what happens when people stand on those wrong conclusions. But what we have to do, what I have to do, what you have to do, is we have to constantly look to God's word for where to take our stand. And if we find out that we're wrong, that we're not lining up with what God says, we have to be humble enough to change ourselves to conform to His word. If we find out we're wrong, we have to be the ones to change. If we're wrong, we can't change God's word. We can't ignore God's word. If we're wrong, we have to be the ones that change. Finally, turn over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. Listen to what Jesus says here. Jesus says, "This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." So we have to ask ourselves, do I love the light? We have to ask ourselves, do I practice the truth? We have to ask ourselves, am I following my own will, or am I following God's will? And if we find out that we're not following God's will, and we love the light, we'll change that. We'll change, we'll come to light because we want to be doing what's right. If we don't love the light, what happens is we'll try to stay in the darkness, stay in the shadows, because we don't want people to know that we're wrong, because we don't want to change. So again, ask yourself, do you love the light? Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? Do you practice truth? Do you practice what God has said? Do you practice God's will? Are you following what you want to follow, or are you following Christ? If there's anyone here today, if there's anyone here this morning that realizes that they have just been following their own self, that they haven't been following Jesus, we would love to pray for you, to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help you truly follow Christ. If there's anyone here who's never become a Christian and who realizes they need to follow Jesus, they need to become a Christian, that they need to follow the light, we want to help you do that by being baptized. But if there's any way we can help anyone this morning, please come while we stand and while we sing.